What's up, everybody? This is Sean Mandoli, and you're listening to the Hopeland Church Podcast. My prayer is that you encounter God as a result of listening to this sermon today. Enjoy. What's up, everybody? We are in part two of Redemption. Let's pray, jump into the Bible, and receive something from the Word and from the Holy Spirit today. So, Father, we thank you for your Word today. We pray you speak to us. We pray we're changed. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We pray for the impartation of the truth. We pray, Lord, that the gospel will be proclaimed. We pray that this Word would center us in and on Jesus and Jesus alone. And we thank you, Father, that you are the Word and we receive from it today. As we sit at your table, I pray that we receive the nourishment we need from Christ. And Holy Spirit, breathe on this moment. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people out there said amen. All right, we're in Redemption, folks, talking about redemption. We're leading up to Easter here. We're excited about our Easter gathering in person and online coming up. And so, yeah, last week we specifically broke down redemption, that actual word, what it means. And so this month we're talking about the blessings of the atonement, the blessings of the cross. What did the cross do specifically? Like, what does the scripture say? What did the cross do for me? What did Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection mean for me? And so we talked about redemption last week. Please go back and listen to that or watch that if you haven't seen it. We're just kind of walking through this. Today, we're going to specifically talk about reconciliation, okay? We're going to talk about that word. Like, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? What is it? And so we're going to do that. And so if you want the sermon notes, text sermon, okay? Text sermon to 323-405-3232. You'll get a link to our YouVersion page where our sermon notes are, okay? On the YouVersion Bible app, you can just text sermon, you'll get it, or you can scan the QR code on the screens if you're watching this, all right? So let's jump into the Word. We're going to start with Romans chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 6 to 11. So today I don't have a lot of scriptures just jumping all over the place. What we're going to do today is read a good portion of each scripture so we kind of get the context. When we talk about something like reconciliation, you know, we're just going to take chunks of scripture from various places in the New Testament, and we're just going to kind of look at them in context. And really see how that actually applies to our life. All right, so here we go. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. Let's read it. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God. All right, demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Verse 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood. We're going to talk about justification next week. My wife is actually going to be preaching on that one. But now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, okay, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. Say it with me, folks, say reconciled. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Reconciled to God through the death of his son. I'm going to say it again. This is what it's all about today. Reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11, his life, all right? Verse 11, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. All right. Somebody say this with me. Say, I have received the reconciliation. Say this with me. Say, I've been reconciled to God through the death of his son. Say it one more time. I have been reconciled to God through the death of his son. This is what reconciliation means. The Greek definition of this word is, it speaks of this, decisively and definitively change. So it's really this word that speaks of change. It was used in the ancient world even to mean like the exchange of coins, like the fair value, okay? The exchange of coins. So it's kind of like this mutual change. So it's like it was a marketplace term, all right? Okay, and so also meaning as when two parties reconcile when coming together, changing to the same position. Okay, that's what reconciliation means. We use it in accounting terminology. When you reconcile your bank statements, what you're doing is you're causing your bank statements and your accounting software to actually match. So the bank reports versus your reports, and figuring out where the discrepancies are, where the differences, where the variances are, and saying, okay, they tie together now. They're reconciled. They come together. Okay, so to be, it means to be restored to the favor of God. Theologically speaking, restored to the favor of God. It means this. This is really a great definition. It really speaks of really what's happening here. And as we just read, how we were, the Bible says we were enemies of God. But it says to change from enemies to friends. Okay, to change mutually. So here's my first point, folks. Reconciliation is received. Reconciliation is received. Okay, it is received, not achieved. But it has been done by God, and it is received by us. So reconciliation, okay, I'm just giving you a foundation here. When we speak of the cross and what we would call the blessings of the atonement, reconciliation is a blessing of the shed blood of Jesus. And so reconciliation is something that God has done and that he offers to us. Reconciliation is something that God has already done, okay? And that he offers it to us, okay? Reconciliation, let me say it a different way. Reconciliation has been initiated by God through Christ on the cross, and we are given the opportunity to receive it, okay? Reconciliation has been initiated by God through Christ on the cross, and we are given the opportunity to receive it. Our faith is not based or founded on what we do. It's our lifestyle as a result of receiving reconciliation. Yes, that comes, but that comes after. But the basis of our faith is what Jesus has done for us on the cross, not on what we do for him. What we do for him is the secondary consequence of what he has already done. Being a preacher, preaching, pastoring, evangelizing, witness, being a witness for him is a secondary consequence of something that he has done. Reconciliation has been initiated by God through Christ on the cross, and we are given the opportunity to receive it. So what does reconciliation, you know, mean for me if I receive him? I got two things. I'm going to give these to you here quickly. This is really what it means, okay, reconciliation. I think the big picture is that we were... the Bible says we are enemies at enmity with God. We are enemies of God. You know, the carnal mind, the Bible says, is at enmity with God. Okay? That in our fallen nature, because we are sinners, we are living a life and in a condition that is contrary to God's nature. So here comes Jesus at the appointed time, and he reconciles us back to God. He does the work to reconcile us, to bring us back to God, that we are no longer enemies of God. We are now the friends of God. Okay, so what does that mean? Let's take it a little further. This is what it means. Reconciliation for the believer means this, that God does not impute to us our trespasses. Say it a different way, Sean. Okay, I will. This is what it means. He has not laid the responsibility or blame of our sin on us. We take responsibility for it, but this is what impute means. It means to not lay the responsibility or blame on the individual. So because of the cross, right? I don't work my way out of sin. I receive forgiveness of it. I repent of it. I forsake it. But the penalty has already been paid. Can I get an amen, somebody? So once again, reconciliation for the believer, when we receive him, it means this, that he does not impute our trespasses to us, meaning he does not lay the blame or the shame of sin on us anymore because Jesus became sin for us. He's taken the very thing separating us from God away. And in doing that, we are now reconciled to God. God has then imparted, as a result of that, he's imparted the ministry of reconciliation to us. He's imparted it to us. Not only has he reconciled us, but he has called us to be, in a sense, in Christ, Lord, that the Lord would use us to reconcile others. So here it is. My next point is this. The cross unites humanity to God. I'm going to say it one more time. The cross unites humanity to God. The cross unites humanity to God. That's reconciliation. That is what it has done. He has brought us back into union with God, or really the opportunity is there for it. Okay? We must receive it by faith. We must receive it, but it is offered. Once again, God has offered in and through Christ the restored relationship with God. That is what it means that we have been reconciled, that we have, as we just read in Romans, we have received the reconciliation, and that it says that we were enemies. Okay? All right? I'm reading this again. Let's just put this up on the screen. Romans 5, verse 10. Let me read this. We're going to go on. We're going to move on to the next verse here, but I want to just say this one more time. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. That's it. That hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring my relationship with God. Hallelujah. We're back in, folks. We're back on good terms. All right. Through the cross. We're on good terms. Right? We are on good terms because of the cross, the blood of Jesus. All right? We have been reconciled. Let's go to another verse now, okay? Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 to 22. I'm teaching you here today. So important. And sometimes some of this stuff is just something we hear a lot, even people that have just been in church their whole life, okay? And they're like grown now and all that. But sometimes, going on with life, and we love the Lord, and we're doing our best to serve him and stuff. But sometimes even folks that grew up in church, man, they just hear this stuff so much that they just, sometimes we can lose sight of kind of the depth of what this is and the importance of really what we're talking about this month is truly, truly fundamental, foundational. And just, you know, it's really the foundation stone from the scriptural doctrinal theological perspective of what our faith really is and what Jesus did, okay? And so it's so important, even though many of us know this to some degree, it's so important to go in and just really understand what the scripture says. The word of God is life, man, and it is living and active. We go in and we just start to kind of break down what is very, in a sense, like what we're talking about this month, guys, is it's something that is very loud in the scripture. It's very prevalent. It's like the scripture's riddled with the blessings of the atonement, the benefits of Jesus dying on the cross and what that means to us. Okay, and so here we go. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 22. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. This chapter speaking of actually Colossians in general, the book of Colossians really speaks of Christ, the person and who he is and that he is preeminent. Okay, so it goes on to say, just before this, it was breaking down Christ in his divine nature. Okay, For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Verse 20, and by him to reconcile, say it with me, say reconcile, all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth, things in heaven, having made peace. Somebody say reconciliation. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. Verse 21, and you who once were alienated and enemies. There's that word enemy again. Were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. All right. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Somebody say amen. All right. This is something that we just, as we talked about last week, Augustine put it this way. We can't not sin. We can't not sin. We're going to sin in some way. It's just in our nature, right? But verse 21 of Colossians 1, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has, what has he done? He is reconciled. He is now reconciled. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death. All right, so the blood, the body of his death, the body of his flesh through death. He has reconciled us. He has reconciled us. He has provided a way to say, the bridge has been built. You can now approach the Father, commune with God in the name of Jesus. In Christ, we are seated with him in heavenly places. In Christ, we have boldness and access to the very holy presence of God. All right? Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. All right? So there it is, change. So fundamentally, like, you know, reconciliation seems change, as we said. It means truly, by definition, it means change, exchange. There's like a definitive change, not only in us, but in our relationship with God. Okay, it's a change. The cross changed everything. Everything. The cross, the blood of Jesus changed everything for humanity. The whole dynamic of your relationship with God and his relation to you has changed because of the blood of Jesus, because of the body of his flesh through death. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus. All right. Reconciled all things to himself. Praise the Lord. In a sense, he's brought, in a sense, like, we'll say it this way. He's brought heaven and earth together, the cross. Reconciled. Whether things in heaven or earth, just brought us together again. For the believer. Okay, when we speak of reconciliation, because by definition, that means change. For the believer, there's always a before and after Christ. There is a before. There is a before. There is a prior to repentance. There is a my life before Christ. Okay? That's what reconciliation means, okay? It's a change. And it's definable. It's tangible. You see it in the life and the lifestyle of the believer. There is a change. That person has been reconciled. It's not just the state of going, oh, I have access to God now. Yes, that is true. But there is a change that you see. It is real and actual. All right? Because of what Jesus has done, we are changed. Reconciliate. When we are reconciled, our life and lifestyle begins to change for the better. We become more Christ-like because we have been restored. Okay? You know those relationships in your life that just, your life is better because of them? Your life is different because of them? Hallelujah. How much more our relationship with the Father now? Come on now. You know when somebody's in a relationship with somebody, you see the fruit of that relationship. If we are authentically in a relationship with the Father, and we have a relationship with God in Christ, it's obvious, all right? It ain't hard to tell that you have a real relationship with God in Christ. Your lifestyle ought to be different than it was before. Somebody say amen, all right? You know, I've been married for almost 15 years now. And there are times my wife and I are in an argument, a disagreement. in the environment of our home or wherever we're arguing is different. We need to be reconciled right now. Could just be a disagreement, whatever it might be, large or small. You know, and then when we come together, somebody say, when we reconcile, we both make that change. And the dynamic of the relationship is different. There's a before that reconciliation, and there's an after. And there's a union, there's an agreement, there's an understanding. We're cool now. It's different. And so not only does reconciliation bring us back to the Father, but it also, the cross actually reconciles us to one another. Here's my next point. The cross brings unity to humankind, or that is what the cross has done, that it actually not only unites humanity to God, but it unites in Christ, it unites humanity together. Okay? So let me say it this way. I'm going to read from my notes here. That there is no cultural, social, or economic hierarchy at the foot of the cross. Okay? The cross levels the playing field. There's no it group. There's no in group. There's no elitism. There's no greater or lesser at the foot of the cross. He has reconciled, at least provided reconciliation to all of humanity. The cross has reconciled all of humanity. All right, so that's what it has done. We're going to read the scripture in a minute, but let me just read some more from my notes. The cross requires and challenges us to confront our prejudices, our racism, our biases, and our ungodly views of other people. Why? Because he has died for all. Okay? And if he has died for all, if he has valued all of humanity to the point of death on a cross to liberate us all from our sin and all have an opportunity to repent and all have been given in the name of Jesus access to the Father. All, come on, somebody say all right? He has died for the sins of the world, right? Once again, back to the point, the cross brings unity to mankind. It is through the cross, okay? It is through the cross. Jesus has done this, not only to us individually to restore relationship to him, but to restore our relationship with one another, okay? You see this in the book of Acts, when he started to challenge the Jewish believers to reach out to the Gentiles now, and they were still kind of caught up in the law, in the law. And he's like, nah, man, I've fulfilled all that. I've restored all things. Don't call unclean what I have called clean. You know, we have a responsibility here. God is challenging us here in this, that this is what if the cross has done this for all, how much more should we then become, as the Bible says, not only are we reconciled, but we've been received the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? That God has united humanity in Christ. Everybody, I think, loves the benefits of reconciliation. But remember that reconciliation means change. And if God has changed our status with him, we need to change and lay down whatever barriers in the way of our relationship with others. Okay, so we can bring this just to the idea of forgiveness and bitterness, right? No. We don't have, because of the cross, man, we might have a reason to be offended, but we don't have a right to stay offended. We have been forgiven. Freely you have received, freely give. Okay? Forgiveness is a benefit of the cross. And if it is a benefit, it is now our responsibility to forgive others because we ourselves have been forgiven of the same, or if not even something worse. Okay? And we will never be reconciled to the others until if we will never be reconciled to the others if we refuse to change ourselves. If we refuse to allow the cross, Christ, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit to change us, we will not be reconciled to others. We must be changed. I'll give an example here, guys. An example. I grew up skateboarding. Most people that know me know that. So I grew up in that world, and it's just interesting, like that. That there are people that are really good friends of mine that I have no relation to them ethnically, culturally, whatever it might be, like different neighborhood, everything. I mean, if you saw me, you know, even just back in the day, the group of people I hung out with was so eclectic. People from all over, different backgrounds, neighborhoods, socioeconomic, cultural. I mean, in some contexts, you know, in a sense, like, we just don't look like we should be friends, okay? Like, what are they doing hanging out together, right? Just based on just looking. But it's just interesting how a skateboard, this other thing that is beyond us, outside of our own upbringing context, brought us together. I got friends here coming from here in LA that I met way back in the day before I even moved down here, that are just from, like, they're just different culturally, grew up in different neighborhood, kind of like gang affiliated family and drug dealing, just pretty intense stuff. I don't come from church by any stretch of the imagination, but I come from a different neighborhood, a different culture and all that. But we are great friends, and there is this thing called a skateboard that broke the barriers of everything else out there in this world. In a sense, it united us. So I say that to say that I was just looking at my life and say, wow, this skateboard has kind of crossed and broken through boundaries. How much more should us Christians be willing to break through cultural rules and limitations and unspoken laws, that because of the unity of Christ in us, the hope of glory, we have been reconciled to the Father, and in that we are also reconciled to one another. Let's read it in the scripture here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 to 18, it reads, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." Speaking of Jew and Gentile. And so we look at this, and the eternal truth here is that through the cross, Christ has united humanity, all of humanity. Okay, verse 15, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity." He's speaking of the enmity between Jew and Gentile. That is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man through the two, thus making peace. Making peace. He's speaking of the specific cultural context is Jew and Gentile in that time and era. He's speaking to the church in Ephesus, which was a very diverse city. You had synagogues and you had pagan temples. And the community of believers in that church were made up of that diverse group of people. So of course, here he is preaching, hey, the cross has united us. Verse 16, "and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. Therefore, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near." Speaking of Jew and Gentile, all people. Verse 18, "for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Hallelujah. Jesus already did the work on the cross, but we still need to work it out with one another. Can I get an amen? I'm going to say it one more time. We're talking about reconciliation now. This is what the cross did. Jesus already did the work on the cross, but we got to work it out with one another. All right, here it is, my last point. With reconciliation comes the assignment. With reconciliation comes the assignment. We'll notice that this, you'll see this in the scripture. You see this when we think of the cross. We think of coming to Christ, receiving forgiveness. We talked about the same principle last week. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to read a verse out of 2 Corinthians here in a minute. I'm going to read the portion of verses, and it's going to break it down for us. But we see that when we speak of redemption, redemption makes way to sonship. And sonship equates to stewardship and responsibility. When we look at reconciliation, we see this benefit of being reconciled to God. But we also see in the scripture that it makes way to an assignment. That once again, the blessings of the atonement are just that, changes our position. It begins the change, the transformation of our soul, our mind. It begins to change our nature, our pursuit of God, our relationship with Jesus because of the work on the cross. Man, it changes us. It does say it's a benefit. We now are in restored relationship. But whenever you see a benefit of the atonement, it then leads us to a life that we're accountable for. It leads us into a stewardship that we're accountable for. It leads us into an assignment, a calling that we are responsible for. So I want you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to read it in the scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 to 21. So open our Bibles, crack it open, folks. We're going to read this once again. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 to 21. All right, let's read that. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Back to reconciliation. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us, plural, to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Word ministry there is the where you get the word diakono, Greek word diakono, diakonos. It's where you get the word deacon. Okay, it just means to serve people in practical ways. Okay, and so I'm going to read this verse again, verse 18. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Doesn't stop there, comma. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation, assignment. 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 If you've been reconciled, you are called to reconcile. All right? If you have been reconciled, you now, God now desires to live in and through your life and your lifestyle, so that you can be a preacher of the gospel, a representative of Christ, a one that the Christ in you desires to reconcile others to himself through you. Verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, there it is again, not imputing their trespasses to them. So reconciliation is, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. All right, say it with me. Say, I got a word. Say it again. Say it with me. Say, I have a word from God for somebody. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then, here it is. We are ambassadors for Christ. Assignment. Somebody say, I got an assignment. All right, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God just doesn't reconcile us. He sanctions us to minister to others. Hallelujah. This is the cross now. This is what the cross has done. This is what the cross has done. God just doesn't reconcile us, but he also, in and through the reconciliation, he sanctions anoints, blesses, calls us to minister, serve others. All right, this is the word ambassador in the Greek. I'm almost done. This is the word ambassador. Ambassador. Presbio. Presbio. It's where we get the word presbytery. Presbio. I think one of the other words, presbyteroi, presbytero, something like that. This is what it means. It means to act as an established statesman diplomat, a trusted, respected ambassador who's authorized to speak as God's emissary, representative of his kingdom. All right, I'm going to continue to read and then we're going to pray. The definition of ambassador. This says we're ambassadors for Christ. Okay? You are a heavenly statesman, stateswoman. You're a diplomat of the kingdom of God. You're a trusted, respected ambassador who is authorized to speak as God's representative. Hallelujah. This term is used in the ancient phrase, I am on embassy to the emperor. I am an ambassador, i.e., as someone respected as trustworthy, loyal, knowledgeable, especially in the opinion of those they know or belong to. Okay, so that's kind of like the actual practical definition. And then, and so what does that say? That God is calling us, being that we have been reconciled, we are now called to minister this reconciliation to others, that the people in your world, in your life, need to hear that they too can be reconciled to God in Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, today. We thank you for your word and for the truth of what your shed blood and broken body has done for us. We thank you, Lord, that we've been reconciled, that you have changed the dynamic of our relationship with you through the cross. And so, God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would continue to bless us, anoint us, and let your spirit, God, fill us, be upon us, baptize us, so we can go and be ministers of reconciliation to those in our world this week. In Jesus' name I pray. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast, and my prayer is that you go out there and you change your world through the power of Jesus Christ. If you're ever in the LA area, join us for one of our weekend gatherings and follow us on social media and check out our website at hopelandla.com. Peace.